Grace and peace to you from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I should tell you, there's a joke in this sermon that may shock you, but it was approved by Pastor Callen beforehand. I don't care about the devil. I don't find that to be an interesting or important figure in Scripture. It certainly doesn't play a major role in my faith life. I don't think it should play an important role in your faith life either. And I'll remind you that all questions or comments about the sermons should be directed to my boss, Pastor Los, whose email you can find on the website. I don't see in Scripture much evidence for an individual as we've imagined the devil, with horns and a pointy tail scheming to snatch our souls from God's hands. Much less do I see evidence of a character who could do that. So often when Christians think of the devil, they imagine a figure very nearly as powerful as God, maybe even functionally God's equal and opposite force in the universe. They imagine there's a fair fight going on. Nonsense. Nonsense. That is utter nonsense, used to scare you into faith, meant to scare you into loving God. But that just doesn't work. It is impossible to scare someone into either genuine trust or love. At best, you get a kind of cowering obedience. And anyway, we're Christians. We are Easter people. That means our entire faith is built on the celebration of Christ's victory over sin, death, and, you guessed it, the power of the devil. Whether or not there was ever a fair fight, it's over. So we stand tall and laugh in the face of things people would have scare us. Some might say, I don't imagine the devil to be at war with God. The contest is between me and the devil, and the prize is my soul. Okay, well, where does God fit into that dance party? Or Jesus? Are they just standing over in the corner with their fingers crossed? Why, as Christians, are we so willing to cut Jesus Christ out of this central drama of our faith? Do we assume Jesus is content to just hang back and watch us get kicked into the mud, really, really hoping we pull through? Why call him Savior if we plan on saving ourselves? So yeah, the devil does not matter to me. I think it is such a minor figure. Having said that, the devil does play a very large role in our story this morning. So what should we do with that? I could bring another preacher up here. We got three today. I don't care about the devil, but Pastor Callen, you love the devil, right? But nah, I heard it. I heard it. It came out wrong. I didn't mean that. By the way, that was the joke that was cleared with Pastor Callen before the sermon. The reality is, even for a critic like me, I think paying attention to what the figure of the devil is doing functionally in stories like this in Scripture is important. I just think the character of the devil, as it has developed over time, has become a big distraction and even a bit of a blasphemy, an insult to God's sovereignty and Christ's resurrection. So, if we get past all the superstition and all the embellishments about the devil, Lucifer, Satan, what is actually happening in this story? It might help to remember what happened just before this story. We talked about it last week. Jesus was baptized. And afterwards, God spoke and said, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is what God declares to each of us in our baptisms. You are my child. With you, I am well pleased. You are my son. But now in our story today, the devil has a different message. If you are the Son of God, if what God has pronounced with such certainty in our baptisms, the devil tempts us to doubt. And this is the devil, in my opinion, not some superpowered figure twirling his mustache, but the nagging, fearful, doubtful voice that whispers uncertainty to each of us. Sometimes in Scripture, this figure that we've combined into one unitary character is called the adversary. But maybe it's easier for us to think of it in our life as the adversity that undermines our trust in God's promises. God tells us, "You are my beloved." And the devil whispers, "If God loved you, why are you sick? You are mine forever. If God is with you, why do you feel so utterly alone? You are my child. If you're a child of God, why are you such a sinner?" And these doubts come to us not through the supernatural whispering of some voice in the night, but all too often through the all too natural experiences of evil and suffering in this life. We lose a loved one. We witness natural disasters. We live tortured by nagging pains and chronic conditions. Where are you, God? If I'm your child through baptism, prove it. Put it another way. Don't we actually want Jesus to succumb to the devil's temptations in this story? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Yes, Jesus, do that. Use your power as the Son of God to make stones edible and end hunger all over the world. Do that. If you are the Son of God, take authority over every earthly kingdom and government. Right? Please, that would be great. Take the reins from us. Let God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off the highest point of the temple and let the angels keep you from even stubbing your toe. Yeah, spare yourself and us from all harm. Get rid of everything, from cold sores to cancer. Stop our suffering. But Jesus knows something we don't. Something I don't know. I'm not holding it back for dramatic effect from the pulpit. Jesus knows that the devil's way is not God's way. Jesus knows that the devil's picture of what he should be, what it should mean to be the Messiah, frankly, how we want Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus knows that's wrong. Jesus was not, I think, sent to us to control us, to automate our lives, to bubble wrap this side of paradise. Instead, Jesus came to enter into this life with us fully and make it, all of it, the messy, the beautiful, the painful, the sweet, make all of it sacred. Redeem all of it. And so Jesus does what we struggle daily to do. He overcomes that voice. He clings to his baptismal promise. He trusts God's word, "You are my son," and he utterly rejects the devil's "if." Jesus doesn't take away all our suffering, but he doesn't hang back and watch us get knocked around either. He steps into the fray right alongside us, and he even goes ahead of us to the cross, to the grave, so that no matter what happens to us, what befalls us or our loved ones, he can promise that he has been there too, and he knows the way out, and he will lead us back to life. So, in your face, devil. Amen.